This is the Life Church Podcast.
We've been in this series called Kingdom Come, where we've been going through the Lord's Prayer, and Jesus has been teaching us how to pray. And so my prayer about this series, as we've gone through the series, my prayer is that we as a people have engaged that, and we've begun to ramp up our own prayer life, that we've begun to see that maybe I need to trust and depend on God more. I should pursue Him more. I should seek Him more and allow God to begin to do some miracles in our life. We've talked about prayer in many ways. We've talked about it as adoration and praise to God. We come to our Father. We call Him our Father. You know, if you read the Lord's Prayer, it says, starts off with our Father. He is our Father. He's not our business partner. Oftentimes in church and in Christianity, it's easy to be a part of a church, be a Christian, and still have this mentality that the kind of relationship I have with God is that of business partner, mutual benefit. Basically, if I attend church, then God does something for me. If I give in the offering, then God does something for me, and we kind of go back and forth. And that's not the kind of relationship that God wants. So really, prayer teaches us that the kind of relationship that God wants to have with us is that of a loving Heavenly Father, that we go into our Father's living room and we don't knock on the door. We just walk in and we say, Daddy, I need you. I need your help. I need you to speak to me. I need you to change the circumstances in my life. I need you to heal my body, whatever it might be. And that's the kind of relationship we have. So we've talked about prayer as praise and adoration. We've talked about prayer as yielding oneself to God's will. He says, your kingdom come, thy will be done, your will be done. And then in yielding yourself to God's will, there's something about that. There's our will needs to die so that God's will can, there's no way that you can say, pray, God, I want your will without first releasing your own will. And so a big part of that is releasing your own will. We talked about the revealed will of God and the specific will of God. That for us, most of the time, we come to God and, you know, kind of on an emergency basis. He's our own personal fire hydrant, right? That when there are problems in my life, that's when I come to God. God, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. And when we're seeking direction in life, we oftentimes go to God because we have some decision we need to make. Do I go to this college? Do I marry that girl? Do I, whatever it is, you know, the decision, the specific will of God. And so we often come to God about the specific will for our life. But really, God is much more interested about us obeying and following His revealed will. And that is often found in God's word. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to come to God and say, God, should I attend the University of Iowa? Should I attend Iowa State? But what you've already told me to do, which is revealed in Scripture, I'm not sure if I really want to. I don't believe that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to follow that. It doesn't make any sense to ask God for specifics when what He's already told us to do, we're not willing to do. So we've talked about that. We've talked about coming to God prayer as asking God for our daily needs. And in asking God for our daily needs, not that God will only give you what you need for today. He will do that. He'll give you for many days. But really, the whole point of that is the posture of our heart is that we are utterly dependent upon God. And that's really what that means, you know, give us today our daily bread, is a prayer of utter dependence upon God. We live in a world that's very self-reliant. And again, it's easy to just come to God when we run to the end of our rope. There's nothing else we can possibly do within our own strength. So we come to God because now we need this. And what God really wants out of us is for us to daily say, God, wake up. Even if I don't need anything, God, I'm utterly dependent upon you every single day. Today we're going to look at the last phrase of that prayer. It's probably one of the most critical parts of the prayer. It's probably one of the most difficult parts of the prayer. Let me just go to Matthew 6:9. We'll start there and then we'll get to that verse. It says, this then is how you should pray. It's the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And that's where we've been up to this point. Now, this is the next part of the verse that we're going to look at. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And so they use the word debtors there. You know, it's easy to kind of get confused. So Jesus actually explains it within the same context of the passage here. He explains what he means by that in verse 11. He says, "For if you forgive others, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And so today we're going to be talking about forgiveness. I was waiting to see if anybody's going to stand up and walk out. It's a tough subject to talk about, especially if you're a person here harboring something against somebody else. It's really hard to talk about forgiveness. We like the idea of forgiveness when we're on the receiving end of it, right? When I'm being forgiven, when somebody says, "Yes, I realize you didn't mean to do that, you hurt me, but you didn't mean to do that, and I forgive you, and I love you, and I want to be in relationship." We like forgiveness that way. It's a totally different story when we have to give forgiveness, right? And so really, this is what we're going to talk about. Paul, the Apostle Paul, we're going to kind of go to a passage where Paul is talking. Paul writes a letter to a group of Christians in the town called Ephesus. It's found in the book of Ephesians. And he's talking about this very idea. This is what he says. Now, let me warn you before I read the text. This is going to sound insensitive on the part of Paul. It's going to sound like Paul just doesn't have a clue. That somehow he's not heard your story. He doesn't know how badly you've been hurt. So obviously Paul's missing something here, but it's going to sound like this is what he says. Verse 31 of Ephesians 4, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." Let me just summarize what Paul says. If you're here today and you're angry or you're bitter or you're holding something against somebody, somebody's done something and you're just angry at them, Paul says this to you, get rid of it. Okay, let's pray. Good sermon. No, just good. That's how simple it is, right? I mean, Paul would have made a terrible counselor, right? He'd come in and say, "Paul, my parents divorced when I was a kid, and I feel so abandoned, and I feel so hurt." And Paul's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, wait. Just get rid of it. That'll be $100 on your way out. Thank you." You know, I don't know. That's what this sounds like. That's what this verse sounds like. He is a horrible, horrible counselor is what it sounds like, right? I mean, how can Paul possibly say this? He hasn't even heard my story. He doesn't understand how badly I've been hurt. He doesn't realize how terrible I was treated by that person. How can he just say, just get rid of it? He goes on, he says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Maybe you know somebody that has issues with anger. Your spouse comes to you and says, "Hey, you know what? You've got an anger problem." And the way you respond is, "I don't have an anger problem." That's how you respond, right? Yeah, you have an anger problem. And people around you see it. And if you're honest with yourself, when you look in the mirror, you probably see it as well. But you know what? For someone to come up to you and say, "Hey, you got an anger problem, just get rid of it," it's not exactly helpful. I mean, how helpful is that, right? Just get rid of it. I mean, your problems would be solved if you got rid of your anger. Just get rid of it. It doesn't feel very helpful. He also talks about slander here. You know, when you're so mad at somebody that you talk about them all the time, you're just speaking against them, right? Paul says, just get rid of it. And then it seems like he runs out of words, you know, at the end of that part, that portion of verse. He kind of runs out of words of things that can destroy relationships. So he uses a phrase, this all-inclusive phrase. He says, along with every form of malice. Okay, so if I haven't covered the details for you, then if you just have any kind of ill will towards anybody, Paul says, get rid of it. Just get rid of it, right? To which most of us, you know, we will respond to Paul and we say, "Well, okay, fine, Paul, but I don't know how. I don't know how to get rid of it." Because see, the thing is, I have a story to tell. I have been hurt. I have been abandoned. Things have been stolen from me, whether it's material or emotional or psychological. I have a story. So from time to time, people come to me and, you know, my office, and we'll sit and we'll talk about things. And I'll hear their story. And I'm not like Paul. I do have a little bit of empathy sometimes, maybe too much empathy. And so I'll start listening to the story. And man, it doesn't take long before I'm like, man, dude, yeah, I see why you're so mad. I'd be mad too, you know, listening to that story, right? And, you know, before the end of the hour that we're meeting, we're like trying to figure out how we can go slice some tires or something, you know, because we're so mad about what has been done to you. That's terrible, right? But then Paul comes along, this guy Paul, and he writes a letter to some Christians in Ephesus. And, you know, they get that letter and they hear it. And then they start circulating that letter. And then it gets translated into different languages and gets put into a book, which happens to be what we're reading today. And it's as if the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, Life Church, are you angry? Get rid of it. Any slander in your life going on right now? Get rid of it. Are you bitter about something? Get rid of it. Why would we listen to Paul when he says that? I mean, it seems impractical and insensitive. Why would we even listen to the Apostle Paul when he tells us, if you've got all these things, just get rid of it? Well, the first reason is because he's not on a beach in Cancun writing a letter, okay? He's not sipping margaritas, having a great old time. That's not what he's doing. He's actually in prison. And he's in prison because he's been betrayed by a system. He's been betrayed by his fellow Jews, even some of his own friends. That's why he's in prison. In fact, Paul, if anybody has a reason, a story to tell, he has a reason to be mad. He has a reason to be mad at the Jews. He has a reason to be mad at fellow Christians. He even has a reason possibly to be mad at God, because he could say, technically speaking, God, you let this happen to me. Why did you let this happen to me? He probably could say, I have a reason to be mad. He's writing this letter to some Christians in Ephesus, and they're not in prison. They're free. And he's challenging them to get rid of all the stuff that's dividing them, right? He says, just get rid of it. You see, when I meet people who have a real legitimate story to tell of hurt, anger, abuse, whatever it is, and I meet those people and I find out that on the other side of that story, they didn't come out depressed or bitter or angry, but instead they're kind of living in victory, that gets my attention. That tells me something divine, something miraculous, something pretty powerful happened in your life that has allowed you to get past that story, past those issues, past the hurt, past whatever it is, and to come out on the other side still with a sense of freedom and self. And that's Paul. So I think Paul has credibility because of how he responded to his own circumstances, right? I think the second reason that I feel we should listen to the Apostle Paul is because he actually thinks that you can get rid of it. So if you're sitting here right now and you're not sure, you've been carrying hurt, maybe in fact, as I start preaching about this very idea, you're all of a sudden, you hadn't thought about it in a while, but now you're thinking about it, about that person that injured you or that issue that happened in your life, and that's starting to kind of fester in your mind a little bit and you're being bothered by it. Or possibly you're sitting here and there's something very current that you're dealing with. Some kind of hurt, some kind of, you know, act that was done against you that's got you upset. Paul actually believes that you don't have to live with that, that you can actually get rid of it. He actually believes that. So, I think that if that's true, then I think we should pay attention to that. Paul actually believes that you can fully and finally get rid of this, that it doesn't have to affect your relationships from here on out. You can actually live in freedom and in victory. Now, if that's true, if this is remotely true, I mean, if it's true that because of Paul's story and because of his belief that this is possible, if that's true, wouldn't you want to know how? Like if you were able to say, look at your own self and say, there are some things that I've been carrying for 20 years or 15 years or 2 years. Injuries, things have been done against me that I can't get past. I can't get over it. And somebody comes along and says, hey, I've got a way, a solution for you to get over that or past that or go through that, whatever it is. Wouldn't you want to know what that is? Well, that's what the Apostle Paul is doing. He's really basically telling us how to get rid of it. So he tells us to get rid of all this stuff, and then he kind of gives us a solution. Verse 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. So that's the stuff. And then there's like this implied but, or implied instead of, you know, so instead of doing this, do this instead. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. There's a big contrast here. And then Paul brings up that stinking F word, right? Forgive one another. Forgive one another. I know you were thinking something else. That's not what I was trying to do, right? How do we get rid of it? By forgiving each other. Right? Now, you're not unfamiliar with forgiveness. I'm sure every person in this room has had to forgive somebody along the way. You've had issues, even if they're minor. You've had to, at some point, say to somebody, okay, I forgive you, or cancel that debt, or whatever it is. You've had to do that. So we're very familiar. So one of the things that we're familiar with, because we know that's true, that every one of us in this room at some level or another have had to forgive somebody, we know that, first of all, forgiveness is a decision. Forgiveness is a decision that we make. Okay. In fact, I'm going to say that. Let's just all say that, okay? I'm going to say it right now. Forgiveness is a decision. Let's all say it together. Forgiveness is a decision. See, I think that we get that. It's a decision. But I think most of us operate as if forgiveness is this mystical thing that just falls upon us one day. That it's not a choice necessarily, but that we're kind of walking through life, and if I just pray enough, God's just going to drop it on me. Boom, I have forgiveness now. That's what it is. But forgiveness, as Paul is talking about it here, and as we understand it experientially, it is a decision. It is a choice that we make, and I want to kind of camp out here a little bit. There's two Greek words that the Apostle Paul, that's used in the New Testament that talk about forgiveness. The first Greek word is the word aphemi. It's used about 150 or so times in the whole New Testament. And it's more of a technical word. It's a word, it's kind of like a courtroom kind of word. It best translation would be acquitted, right? So if you have aphemi in your life, you have been acquitted in court from whatever wrongdoing you have done. It's a technical word. Okay, that's used very commonly. Paul used it a lot of different times. But the word that Paul uses in this particular verse is the word charizomai, which actually comes from the root word of charis, which is the word for grace in the Greek, you know, the language that the New Testament was written in. And so grace, and the idea behind charizomai is that of somebody giving gifts, okay? That you're handing out gifts. That's the idea of charizomai. So essentially what Paul is saying is, oh, I've been hurt. Here's some forgiveness. Oh, you stole my childhood from me. Here's some forgiveness. You took something away from me. You took something valuable. Here's some forgiveness. Here's some forgiveness. Here's some. You're doling out gifts of forgiveness. That's essentially what Paul is talking about here. That as a Christian, we are to develop a lifestyle where you're constantly giving out the gift of forgiveness to other people as a follower of Jesus Christ. And he's going to tell us why in a second, but as a follower of Jesus Christ, we are to be constantly giving out the gift of forgiveness. Now, I know that sounds like a slap in the face to most of us, because you would say not everybody deserves that gift. There are people, I'm sure you're thinking about them right now. They're in your mind right here, right now, as I'm talking about it. That person does not deserve this gift of forgiveness for me to give it to them. See, first of all, charizomai, forgiving one another, it's a decision to cancel a debt. That's what it is. It's a decision to cancel a debt. Then in spite of how you have treated me, in spite of how you have done, I make the choice that you don't owe me anymore. Debt has been canceled. Now, every time something happens to you, whether you've been, you know, hurt verbally, or whether it's a marriage that's dissolved, or whatever it might be, and you feel that sense of pain, that hurt in your life, and the need to forgive comes up, we calculate it in that something has been taken from us. We had something, and because of the injury, because of the hurt, because of whatever it is, that has been taken from us, whatever it might be. Now, oftentimes, it can be material things. It can be a house, it can be a car, whatever. That's probably the less significant stuff. The more significant things are the ones that are less material. I'm angry at my mom because she left my dad, and she stole from me the ability to have a whole, complete family. I'm angry at that relative because at a young age, they stole my innocence. And I can never get that back. And so those are things, those are ways in which we understand things that have been taken from us. And so forgiveness is a decision to cancel that particular debt. And the reason this is important is because the reason you need to know what it is that's been taken from you is because you can't cancel a debt that you don't know what has been taken from you. If you don't understand why you're angry, if you don't understand why you're frustrated, if you don't understand why you don't, every time you look at that person, you just turn away. It's not easy to cancel that debt, but you need to understand why. You need to know why you're canceling the debt. So forgiveness is, first of all, a decision to cancel a debt. It's saying, I know you took this from me, but I'm making the decision, I'm making the choice that you don't owe me anymore. And I'm not going to wait to work through all of my issues of blame, and I'm not going to wait until one day you come back to me and say, hey, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make a choice today to cancel that debt. And then if years from now you come to your senses, and if years from now you give your life to Jesus, and all of a sudden you recognize, you realize that you took something from me, and you come to me and you say, I am so sorry, what do I owe you? My response to you is simply this: you don't owe me anything. I canceled that debt a long time ago. And consequently, I have lived in freedom for a long time. That's really what Paul is talking about here. So this is really where we run into the wall, isn't it, though? Because when I say you just need to cancel that debt, most of us think, well, isn't that like letting them off the hook? Like they hurt you and you just kind of just let them go? And that's not fair. And you might even say it's not even fair to them to let them off the hook. After all, you know, what about justice? Justice shall prevail. There's no justice here if you just let them off the hook. See, but as a Christian, there's a spiritual dynamic here that's up here. See, what you will discover is that only forgiven people have the real motivation to forgive other people. That if you've been forgiven, if you have truly been forgiven, you will have motivation and a reason to forgive somebody else. Even though it seems like it's just not natural to cancel that debt, right? If you're not a forgiven person, then forgiveness will never, never make sense to you. That's why the Apostle Paul says what he says in this verse. He goes, that's so powerful. I love this verse. I mean, just if we camp out here, just look at it and allow it. If we as an exercise, a life church exercise, said, I'm going to look at Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, and I'm not just going to read it and try to understand it intellectually. I'm going to read it and try to figure out how that processes in my own spirit. It will be life transforming for you. He says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. This is the hard stuff that you say, I don't know if I can possibly do this. But then Paul gives us the reason why, the ability of why we can possibly do it. He says, he uses these two words, they're huge, just as in Christ God forgave you. So you are to be kind, compassionate, forgiving others, just as you yourself have been forgiven. Look, you and I, we owed a debt. We owed a big debt. All of us in this room, at some point or another, we owed a debt to God. If you all stop for a second, just think about your own life, your own past. Think about the things that you did, the lies that you may have told, the people you hung out with and you did stuff with. The deception, maybe it wasn't so big outward, maybe it was just an internal deception going on inside of you. We all have owed a debt, a huge debt to God. And yet God comes along and he says, Rich, you did this and you did that and you did this. Man, you rich, you did a lot of bad stuff. You did. But I'm going to cancel that debt. I'm going to forgive you. And he says to us, and now that I've canceled that debt, now I want you to do the same to those that owe you. And I realize you might push back and you might feel like, wait a minute, Rich, but they owe me. I do have a story. They do owe me. How can I possibly just forgive them? They have stolen from me. They have taken from me. I just can't forgive. And here's my observation with that. And this is really about freedom. You will never, right after first service, somebody came up to me and said, you know, amen to what you just said. She was just talking about this part of the message. She said, I have several brothers and myself, and as a young child, I made the decision. She said, use those words. I made the decision to forgive a parent, a father. She said, my brothers and sisters have not. And now, 50 plus years later, she has seen how their lives have spiraled out of control completely. And yet she has managed to live in freedom for all of these years. Nothing really changed. Nothing different. Nothing extraordinary. Simply a choice was made. A decision was made to cancel it. She has been able to live in. You will never find freedom by focusing on the people who have hurt you. If you walk around constantly thinking about this person and that person, they did this and they did that, and I'm so upset with them, and I can't wait till they do this, and I can't. If that's how you're living your life, you'll always feel the bondage in your life. You'll only find freedom when you focus on the one who's forgiven you. When you focus on God, how he has basically erased and canceled your debt. That's the only time you'll find freedom in your life. And he says, just as, to the same measure that Christ has forgiven you, you should forgive others. You see, God has forgiven you. He's forgiven you fully, completely. I mean, it was a one-time thing. He didn't like, Rich, I saw what you did back in 1975, 1976. I saw it. Hiding over there behind the park, you know, in Noah, California. I lived in the country of Panama. I knew what you were doing back there. You thought you got away with it. But I saw it. And then in 1982, I forgave it. But he doesn't come back in 1990 and says, you know what? Remember what you did back in 1975, 1976? I take that back. You know, I'm not going to forgive you. That's not good. He fully, 100% forgives us completely. I mean, finally does. And then he fully also forgives us. Everything that we've done, he completely forgives. And then he also forgives us freely. It's not a barter. We're not trading with him. We're not coming to the altar and saying, okay, Lord, I really am in desperate need of forgiveness. I really am in desperate need of freedom in my life. And so let's negotiate here. If I come to church, I know you want me to come to church every week, but if I come to church at least 3 times a month, okay? And I know you want me to tithe and all, but if every time I put something in the offering, will you forgive me? That's not how God operates. There's no bartering, there's no negotiating. It's just simply this. Because of his love and compassion for us, he forgives us freely. We're forgiven finally, we're forgiven fully, we're forgiven freely. So Paul says to you and me, if you struggle to forgive, that you'll need to shift your attention from the one who's hurt you to the one who has forgiven you. To focus your attention on that. And when you do that, you'll have the grace, you'll have the power to be able to forgive those. And if you've not locked in on your own forgiveness, then to be honest with you, forgiving others is really, really tough to do. If you don't understand yourself as a forgiven individual, it is really, really hard to forgive somebody else. So I want to leave you this morning with 3 phrases to try and, you know, make this as practical as possible. And I realize that you have a valid story. I'm not trying to minimize your story. I'm not trying to say what you have gone through is insignificant and it's you know, why are you so upset? Paul, when he says get rid of it, he's not trying to say, hey, your story is invalid. That's not what he's saying. He just knows that you have a valid story, and he knows that you've been living in bondage, and he knows that you're living, there's dysfunction in your life because of that story, and he wants you to be free from that story, and so he's giving you a solution to it, right? So here's three phrases we're going to do. The first one is this: you need to identify who you're angry with. If you're taking notes, I'm sure that you don't need to take notes on this one, because I guarantee you, as soon as I start talking about forgiveness, every one of you in this room are like, I know. You have this imaginary conversation going on in your head, like you're telling them off. Like you're standing on some street corner, and you see them walking, and you're just like telling them off, you know. And then Pastor Rich walks up, and he puts his arm around you. And you say, "Good job. That's great. That's right. They're bad." You know, that's what's going on in your head. You've got this story reeling on, and you're like telling these people off. So, if there's somebody like that, an image in your mind about somebody, that's probably the person you're angry with. Okay, number one. Number two, you need to determine what they owe you. You can't cancel a debt you don't know why you're upset or angry with them. Maybe it was your marriage, and you feel like, I'm tainted, things just went the wrong direction, and it's not right. Maybe it's your reputation. Maybe you, they lied about you and caused you to get fired or whatever, and your reputation has been injured by it. Maybe it's your innocence. Maybe you just you were only a child. You were only a child. It's just not fair. It's not right. It's wrong. That was taken from you. What is it that's been taken from you? Who are you angry with, and what is it that's been taken from you? And then according to the Apostle Paul, you need to cancel. Make a decision to cancel that debt. Now here's the key. You cannot cancel that debt. You can only decide to cancel that debt. See, you don't have the power. You don't have the ability. You're a fallen human, just like me. All of us are. And we don't have the ability to forgive other people or anything like that beyond the fact that we just make a decision that I am no longer going to allow that to keep me in the bondage that I'm in. And so what happens is you decide, I'm going to cancel that debt. It's a decision you make, but because we are natural human beings, our memories kind of come back, and we see something that triggers it, or we run into that person, or you know, maybe it happened around the holiday season, so now the holiday season's on us, and all you can think about is how badly you've been treated. And at that moment, you do a little exercise in your mind. God, but thank you for all that you have done for me. I thank you, God, that when I was lost and I was a stinking drug addict doing my own thing, that you said, I love you, Rich, and I will still rescue you, and I will still reach out to you, and I'll still... And you go down that pathway, guess what? You start forgetting about that person that hurt you, because you start realizing that you're in relationship with a Heavenly Father who loves you, who has forgiven you. I mean, it's like cancer, right? I know there's some people in this room who have had cancer. If you get cancer, somebody, doctor tells you you have cancer, the last thing you want to do is go sit in a doctor's office to hear for an hour the 105 reasons why you have cancer. You don't care about why you have cancer. The only thing you really care, your number one priority is, how do I get rid of it? How does this thing get taken out of my body so I don't have to suffer through it? That's your number one priority. And in the same way, bitterness is like a cancer. And if we don't forgive, we live a life of bitterness, and it just eats us up on the inside. So our challenge today is, instead of saying so focus on the source of our hurt, let's focus more on the person who has forgiven us, on our Savior, right? Maybe you're here this morning and also you're thinking, okay, Rich, I've been tracking with you. I get it logically what you're talking about. But to be honest with you, I don't know what it means to be forgiven. I've not crossed that path. I've never really stopped for a second to look to God and say, God, will you forgive me of my sins? I've been a pretty good person all my life. I've never really had to go to God and ask for forgiveness. Maybe that's how you feel. And so I just want to tell you that if you're here this morning and that's the case, you've really never asked for forgiveness from God, but but you have people in your life that you hold bitterness against or issues with, you'll have the hardest time ever forgiving them. You'll have the hardest time ever living in freedom until you first reach out to your Heavenly Father who loves you and who wants you to live in freedom and ask forgiveness. So I want to encourage you this morning, as Tony's going to be leading us in a song here in a second, and as we're going through that song, I want to encourage you this morning, if you're here and you've never given your life to Christ, in fact, let's all stand right now. I'm going to ask you to just kind of close your eyes and bow your heads. If you'll do that for me, indulge me in a second there. Just close your eyes and bow your heads. If you're here this morning and you've never really said, Jesus, I surrender my life to you and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. If you've never really done that, we just slip up your hand real quick and then put it back down, please. There's one, two, thank you. Thank you. Amen. I want to pray for you this morning, and I'm going to ask you to just take a step of faith towards God. And here's what we're going to do. We're just going to simply pray. Our prayer teams are going to come up here in a second. In fact, they can come up now. I appreciate if they come up now. But our prayer teams will be here. And if you're here this morning and you'd like to say, Jesus, I want to give my life to you. I want to deal with this issue of forgiveness once and for all in my life. The bitterness that I'm holding, the anger that I have that's just not doing anything for me. And I need deliverance from that. I need freedom from that. Paul says, forgive others just as you have been forgiven. Amen. I'm going to pray, and then Tony's going to lead us in a song. And while we're singing, I would encourage you guys to come up to our prayer team. Okay, let's pray. Father, we want to thank you, God, this morning for your goodness and your grace. We thank you, Father, for forgiveness. Today, we stand here, Lord, as forgiven people. God, you've done so much in us. Lord, if I just started making a list of my own sins in my life, God, all the things that you have erased and canceled debts on my behalf, Father, I just thank you for that. God, you have done so much for me. It's only natural that I would then extend that to others, that I would forgive others. So, Father, this morning, will you speak to our hearts? Will you help us, Lord God, to recognize who we're angry with, what situation we're angry about. Lord, to just simply cancel that debt. To focus on you, Jesus, on what you have done in our lives. We cancel that debt. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the Life Church Podcast.